Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
Good morning, rise and shine. You're on with This Due Time with Pastor Steph. How are you today? That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, you know what I got to ask. Where were you yesterday? Oh, yesterday we were shaking the Monday morning blues with the Due Time crew, and we had our relationship conversation, and we talked about boundaries. Yes, after the wife of one man heard that her husband had received what he said was a small managerial bump with a very little level of power in the restaurant. She took her five girlfriends. They thought they were going to eat for free, and they did. And then when she was challenged, she got mad. Yeah, the waitress told her, you know, this is not, you know, free here. And she went home and Facebook and fired the waitress. Yes, yes, yes. Mm-hmm. Well, her husband got home and blasted her out. She was so upset, she left home, went to her parents' house, and they called him and demanded that he apologize and make sure he brought roses. Oh, yeah, bought flowers, whatever kind of flowers they were. Yes. So clearly, you know, we have our ability to just kind of step across that boundary line. So we talked to our Due Time crew about it. And one of the boundaries we talked about was saying no. You know, do you hold back that no because you don't want to upset your partner? Yeah, you know, I don't want to say no because, you know, I'll just let that go ahead. Oh, well, the Due Time crew said, well, they feel you need to set that boundary and learn how to say no because that's something that you need to do just to stake your claim in this world. You can't let everything go on. You got to know how to say no. Yes. And we also talked about refusing to take the blame. Refusing to take the blame. Are you going to take the blame? Or are you going to insist that your partner take the blame? Yes. Well, you know, we can go on and on about levels of boundaries and how we cross the line. Oh, let's see. Let's leave this. Okay, one more. Oh, expecting respect. Now, we know that people have problems with that. People have problems with that, you know, where they don't know how to respect you properly. Do you put your foot down and let them know? Well, absolutely, according to the Due Time Crew. You must put your foot down and let people know that you are mandating that they respect you. Absolutely. We're not going to play that game, are we? Oh, I hope not. All righty. Well, we mosey on down to the top of the morning, and we got our switch tip. Lower those expectations. Now, this is one time where the switch tip is going in the opposite direction. Because you know what we talked about yesterday? We talked about drawing the line. You know, and listen, I'm saying no, and I'm expecting respect, and I'm not taking the blame for your stuff. Well, guess what? The switch tip came in the opposite direction. Lower those expectations. Well, these are not the areas, or this is not the area. This boundary issue is not the area where you're going to lower the expectations. No, not in a million years. No, the expectations you're lowering are unreasonable expectations. Yes, and my girl Shantice did a fantastic job yesterday, and she put herself on the line quite a bit and let you know exactly what she was talking about. And this is one time I don't think anybody can say it better than the switch tip lady. Yes. So I advise you to go back and listen to yesterday's segment. Mm-hmm. And you will get what lower your expectations is all about. Yeah, because that one was a little lengthy. Yeah, we got a little sermonette yesterday. And again, I don't think I can say it quite the way she can. But, yeah, lower those expectations. You know, when you're getting disappointed because people are not quite doing what you expect them to do. Yeah, well, see, you see why I say you got to go listen to it for yourself? Because, again, it cannot be in conjunction with yesterday's, you know, issue of are we going to step up to the plate and, you know, set them boundaries. Yes, two different things, okay? So go back and listen. And I promise you, you will not be disappointed and you will learn a couple of things, okay? Well, today is Let's Talk About It Tuesday. Yes, Church Folk Day, our favorite day of the week here on Is Due Time with Pastor Steph. And we are going to have a good time today because there's some stuff that we need to talk about. Yep, absolutely. You know how we do on Tuesday? You know, listen, the Due Time crew loves to talk. Yes, we do. And talking is what we do well. Okay. God did not make a mistake and choose some closed mouth people for his Due Time with Pastor Steph. We like to talk. So, you know, I got, you know, some information. Make sure you get that pad and pen out so that you can continue this list we started yesterday. And we got a story that is interesting. Yes, I already warned, we got some stories this week. Yeah, I came across some stuff that is like, wow. All right, so make sure you get that healthy breakfast. Make sure you tell a friend that it's Due Time with Pastor Steph is on. And make sure you don't mess around and lose your seat, because if so, you know, you're going to miss something. Yes. You always miss something when you move, okay? So we will be right back.
In 2018, over 300,000 lives were lost to cervical cancer, and the problem could soon be much worse. But right now, we can come together to eliminate this cancer for good. If by 2030, we can have 90% of girls vaccinated, 70% of women screened for early signs of cancer, and 90% of patients receiving treatment, in the coming years, we can save millions of women's lives. Each one a daughter, a partner, a mother, a friend. Together, we can create a cervical cancer-free future.
Good morning to you. You're on with this due time with Pastor Steph, and it's Let's Talk About It Tuesday. Yes, it's time to get them choppers going with these, conversations. Yes. So did you get that pen and paper out? The one that you had yesterday. Okay. Because we're about to continue our little list here. Mm-hmm. Yes, listen, you need to just have gone to the discount store and bought a 99-cent pad so that you can have an It's Due Time with Pastor Steph book. Yeah, I know. But listen, you don't want to lose all the information that you get. And if you write it on little arbitrary pieces of paper, then you'll never be able to find it. If your house is like my house, yeah, you put it down, it's as good as gone. Okay? All right. So we're talking about ways and things you do that can mess up your credit score. Mm-hmm. All right. Things you can do that will mess up your credit score. Well, number six, you close old or inactive credit cards. Okay? No, bad move. Okay? They say you don't want to cancel old or inactive credit cards. Now, listen, you especially don't want to cancel the old ones because creditors look at your oldest line of credit. Yes, this is one time where old is beautiful. Okay? So don't cancel the old ones if you really need to cancel. You know, if you think you're just going to go all buck wild again after God allowed you to finish paying that off, then get rid of the newer ones. Yeah. But the older ones, yeah, because actually that pushes up your credit score. Yep, the older your creditors get in your, you know, little bubble, the more they give you little points on your credit score. Remember, we're talking about doing things that will harm our credit score. You definitely don't want to do that because that is definitely one that will harm your credit score. Okay, so do not close old or inactive credit cards, and if you absolutely must, then make sure you close more recent credit. Okay? Number 7, you ask for a higher credit limit. Oh, man. Okay, now listen. Listen. Do not ask for more credit. Okay? Because if you're asking for more credit, then your intent is to use more credit. And remember, one of the things that our credit score is gauged on is our, you know, our utilization rate. So if you plan on getting more credit so you can use more credit, that means that utilization rate is going to go up and it's going to bring that credit score down. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, here's what you do do. You wait until they offer it. Okay. Do not do it on your own, okay? Because more than likely, that's because you want to use it. So listen, use what you got. Don't use more than 45%, because remember, that takes your credit score down, not up, okay? So let them do it, and then that way, if you see it, that's a bonus, and it's not because you're going to use it. Okay? All right. Oh, boy. Now, there's a big thing with this now, balance transfers, where they say one of the ways you can hurt your credit score is you consolidate debt onto one card. Wow. Okay. Well, they say don't do that. They say charge purchases to a few different credit cards at a time and keep your debt ratio. I said 45%. They're saying 20. Yes, keep it to 20%. Because, see, I'm going with the real deal. I know you got to use them cards. But they're saying use them 20%. And they say the individuals with consolidated debt might want to consult a nonprofit credit counseling company about participating in a debt management plan. Now, here's the thing with that. With debt management plans, a lot of those plans make you close those cards. Yep, I learned this very recently, like last week. Yes. They make you close a debt relief program or debt management program. They will, you know, require you to close because, you know, you have gone buck wild and they're trying to keep you from going buck wild. So they will suggest you close the cards. And remember, closing your cards is not a good way to keep your credit card score up, your credit rating up, okay? So they say, don't consolidate the debt. As you pay them off, just use them in cycles, you know? So do Target and JCPenney and your Visa card. You know, charge something small, you know, and then pay those off. And then when you finish paying those off, then you go to the Lowe's and what else? Your MasterCard and, you know, your pink card. Yeah, your Victoria's Secret card. And then you pay that off. So you know what? And you can always charge very small items. Yes, very small things. Listen, you're always going to need something. And I know, you know, if you pay for it with cash, you'll only pay $10. But if you pay for it in credit, you're going to pay $25. But hey, it's a small thing. Okay? So if you do it, you know, moderately, you won't, you know, get kicked in the butt. Okay? Number 9. You pay off all your cards at once. Whoa. Okay? Now remember, here's the goal for credit. They want to see utilization. You can't pay everything up because then there's no activity. And it actually works against you. Remember now, the utilization rate. They don't want to see zero. Okay. Now, remember American Express when they first came out? Yeah, that wasn't a credit card because it was a loan. You charged it up, and then you had to immediately pay back everything. So it wasn't really a credit card. So that's what they're saying. They're saying you need to show activity because when you need to really get some credit, then they're not going to see any rotation. They're not going to see any utilage. Okay? So I already told you what they're saying here. They're saying to make sure you rotate the usage of your cards. Okay? All right. See, I told you I know a little something. All righty. Number 10. They say you use the wrong credit card. Okay. They say that if you want to buy that $1,000 TV, don't use the credit card that has a $1,000 limit. Wow. Come on, y'all didn't figure that one out? Okay. Right. It goes back to utilization. If you max out a card, that means you're above my 45% suggestion and their 20% suggestion. You didn't win 100%. So you want to make sure that whatever you're purchasing, if you need to make a larger purchase, you know, not that little dress, you know, for the banquet, you don't want to go to the one you only got $100 on, the dress costs $80. No, you want to go to the card that has $500 on it, and you charge the $80 dress. Okay, so make sure you have enough room that you're utilizing the amount of money you have properly. Okay? Shucks now. Here we go. You co-sign on debt. That's number 11. And they say be very careful. We talked about this, so here on this due time, be very careful that you don't co-sign for people who are sketchy. Now listen, you know your people. Come on. You know your people. And you know who's trustworthy. Because listen. Let's be honest. Let's talk about this for a minute. Let's talk about this. Girl, let's talk about it Tuesday, right? Come on. Let's talk about this. Now, the person who comes and asks you to co-sign for them. Now, they didn't already have conversations with you, or you've been around them when they've had conversations. Yep, you know what I'm talking about. You didn't already heard that they don't have good credit because they didn't mess up. You didn't already heard that they don't manage their money well. You've already heard that they don't pay people back. So listen. Don't fall for the okey-doke, all right? Do not fall for the okey-doke. You don't want to tie yourself down with credit for someone else, and then all of a sudden, you all jacked up. Yeah, because it happens. You know it happens, okay? You know it happens. Now, you get them and they're coming and they're crying the blues and, you know, they're unhappy because stuff ain't going well. And then when you look up, oh, my goodness, they done messed up. Okay. So let's make sure we don't get ourselves in trouble. Okay, that's one way to take our credit score down, because if you co-sign for them and now you don't, they don't pay that bill, guess whose bill it becomes? Oh, yep, it becomes your bill. And once it becomes your bill, then guess what? It's going to hit your credit. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yep. Oh, let me tell you this other one. I don't know if it's on this list or not, but I want to tell you this because this Let's Talk About It Tuesday. And it's something else that I found out. Okay, so now, you know how sometimes you get a credit card and then you get an authorized user? Yeah, like your kid or, you know, your friend. You know, you get them a card to help them, okay? It goes on your credit if somebody got you a credit card as an authorized user. Yes, it goes on your card. Why? They've had to give your social security number to get that additional card, okay? And you're almost like a co-signer. So that's another reason why I want to mention that now. Because that's, yes, it's true. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you factual stuff now, people. Make sure you write this stuff down, you know. Yes, when you're talking about co-signing or, you know, being a co-borrower, yes, when someone gets you a card as an authorized user, you have that on your credit card. I'm sorry, your credit report. And if you look in the details, they'll ask about the type. So, you know, you'll see like individual or joint. Well, this one will say authorized user. Yep. And listen, if they don't pay the bill, guess what? It goes on your credit report. Yes. So, you know, we're talking about how to keep that credit score intact. So that's how we're going to keep that credit score intact. Be careful of who you, you know, ask to become an authorized user on their account. Okay? Okay. All right. So that's how we're going to end it today. Okay, so let me help you. Let me go back and make sure I give you those. Okay, so they say you close old or inactive credit cards. Remember, if you're closing cards, you want to close the most recent ones, not the old ones. Make sure they say you don't ask for a higher credit limit. You consolidate your debt onto one card. Don't do it. Rotate that usage. They say you pay off all your cards at once. Again, rotation is the name of the game. You use the wrong credit card. Remember, you don't want to charge and go to the limit of that particular card. You want some card. You want a card where when you finish charging, you got a whole lot of credit on the opposite end. You still got a whole lot of availability. And you co-sign on debt for someone, or you become an authorized user on someone else's card. Okay, those are all the ways they say you can mess up your credit score. Okay, all righty. So, our story of the day. Yes, it's almost time for us to talk to the pastoral team. So we got to get our story out the way. Well, they say LA woman arrested for keeping $1.2 million that was accidentally deposited into her account. All righty, here we go. So we have a woman in Louisiana. That's why I don't understand why they say L.A. Well, anyway, she opened up an account with Charles Schwab and Company. You know Charles Schwab and Company, yes. Mm-hmm, them. Well, they intended to put $82.56 into her account. But they mistakenly deposited $1,205,619. Yep. $82.56 they're supposed to put in her account. And they turned out and put $1,205,609 into her account. Well, when here's the problem. When they went, they saw the error, and they went to pull the funds back. Guess what? Homegirl had transferred. She spotted it first, and she transferred the funds into another account. She then turned around, and she bought a home. Yep, she bought a home and a brand new 2021 Hyundai Genesis. All right, and the lawyers for Charles Schwab are saying that she has no legal, you know, she has no legalities to that money. No. All right, she knew it was a mistake. She has no legal claim to the money. And she knew it was an accounting error. Now, how do you know it's an accounting error? Because she moved that money. Come on now. Come on now. 33-year-old woman ain't stupid. She knew that she needed to move that money just in case Charles Schwab came looking for it. Because they actually can make a withdrawal. Yeah, they can. It's not as easy, but they can, and especially in this particular case. Well, I said L.A., and it was Louisiana, so that was my duh for the moment. All right, so they say she's being sued by Charles Schwab and company. She's been arrested. She's in jail. She went to federal court and was charged with theft valued at over $25,000, bank fraud, and the illegal transmission of monetary funds. Guess what? She was also fired from her job of 4.5 years as a 911 dispatcher in Louisiana. All right? She's being held on $50,000 bond. But check this out. They only got a little bit of the money back. Yeah, they were able to retrieve some of the money out of the account, but not the other part. And she won't tell. She will not tell. They said 75% of the money they got back. But she ain't telling where the other part is. So, you know, they're saying if someone accidentally puts an extra zero on a utility payment, you know, you would want, you know, to get your money back, or you would get credit. But, of course, it's not working like that for them. So they're saying, you know, if we made the mistake and we overpaid, yeah, because that just happened to me recently. Yeah, everything happens to me recently. Yes, yes, I had a... I had to get some money back, and when I got it back on a credit card, I had already paid the bill. So now I'm over. So I got credit, like over $200 worth of credit on the card. Yeah, because they ain't giving you your money back. So that's what the lawyers are saying. You know, if it were you, you'd want to get your money back or at least get the credit. And they're saying, well, you going down. For this 25%, we're not getting back. So I'm sure they're going after that house and that car. She can kiss that goodbye. Well, however they moved in, they're going to be moving out. Oh, my goodness, my goodness, my goodness. Didn't I tell you I was going to have some stories for you this week? Whoa. All right. So that's my story and my news for Tuesday. Let's talk about it Tuesday. So let me finish talking about it with my Pastor Ed. Good morning, Pastor Ed.
Good morning. How are you doing?
I am well, thank you. I am well. How are you today?
I'm doing good, thank you.
That's That's good. And how's your family? Because we missed you last week because your little one wasn't doing so well at one point, and you weren't doing so well subsequently. So how's everybody? Good?
Yeah, everyone's coming along good. We're prepared for surgery next week, but everything is moving along like it should.
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. And we'll be sure to keep your family lifted in prayer. Very good.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. All right, Pastor Ed, we got two things we're talking about this morning. We're talking about messing up your credit score. Now, I only gave 6 this morning, but is there any way you've made a mistake and you've messed up your credit score using some of the things that we talked about this morning?
Oh, yeah, definitely, definitely. It's a learning experience. I learned the hard way about not co-signing. that can be a disaster. Being an authorized user, because that can work two ways. So if you're an authorized user, even if the person that, say, that puts you on, if they're paying their bill, but if they're charging up too much on it, then the utilization is too high, and that can affect your credit. Or vice versa.
Yep.
If you're the one who put someone else on as an authorized user and they're using it and not paying, both of those, leave them alone. And then the paying off the cards, not realizing that the way you do it can actually harm your credit, paying off completely or closing accounts, all these things you think you're doing for your benefit. But in this system where credit is key to many of your jobs and insurance and purchasing a home, or if you're renting an apartment, all these things come into play. So you really have to be careful and really understand and learn how to manage your credit as a part of managing your finances.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, Pastor Ed. And I'm glad you brought up the insurance because, yes, people don't think credit counts, but even when you go to get car insurance, they want to run your credit. Only a few car insurance companies will not run your credit. So, you're trying to get a car. You got the car, Pastor Ed. Then he gave you a car. Now you didn't pass that credit. Now you can't get insurance, and you're trying to get insurance in your mama name. Because you didn't messed up. And now, they won't overlook the things that the car company, because the car company has collateral. So,
right.
They don't care because they're going to take the car back. But, yes, so everybody listen up. This credit is really important, and I try my best to educate, on this due time with Pastor Steph, Pastor Ed, because it's really a tough job trying to juggle all of these things in life, right?
Yeah, and it's important because even if you think your credit score is decent, the higher the score is, the less you're going to pay for everything. The rates that they charge you, not just the interest rates, but, say the cost for the insurance, all of that is dependent upon your credit score. And so the lower your score is, the more you actually pay for everything, which to me sounds crazy, but it's the truth. The higher your credit score is, the less you pay for everything.
Yeah, because you're a liability when you have, a low credit score. They're taking a chance on you, so you're gonna pay while they're taking that chance. Oh, you ain't getting the easy way out. You want the item? Oh, they'll give it to you, but you're gonna pay for it. And also, the lower your credit score is, the higher your interest rate is on the new credit card.
Exactly.
So everything is going to be affected by that low credit score. So we're trying to get you into those high numbers, okay? All right. Now, Pastor Ed, let's talk about Chicky in Louisiana, who got that $1.2 mil from Charles Schwab. And, man, she hightailed it to buy that house and that brand-new 2021 car. Oh, my goodness. And she's hiding the rest. She ain't giving it up, Pastor Ed. I guess she's figuring, listen, you can't put me in jail but for so long, but in the meantime, I'm going to be sitting on that money. And when I get out, I'm going to have something to spend. What you think about this?
Straight out theft. I mean, there's no question about it. It was stolen, and what she doesn't realize is she may have gained 25% of that money, but she's ruined 100% of her life because that 25% is not enough to live off of the rest of your life, especially if you bought a house and a car. She's going to have to be able to work, and I can assure you this is going to come up anytime she applies for a job. And talk about credit rating, it's destroyed. Destroyed because she's got all that outstanding debt. So it was a foolish, dishonest, and probably greedy, selfish move. She really hurt herself.
Surely did. Well, thank you so much, Pastor Ed, for joining us this morning on his due time. And let's talk to our Pastor Charlotte for a minute. Let's see what she says. All righty. Good morning, Pastor Charlotte.
Good morning, Pastor Steph. How are you today?
I am well, thank you. I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. Doing well. Glad to hear you, Pastor Ed.
Thank you so much. God bless you.
All righty. So, Pastor Charlotte, we're talking about those things that destroy your credit score. And you were on yesterday and today. I named 11 in total. What has happened to you that has helped you mess up your credit score?
Absolutely. My so tilt now. I have signed and gave someone a card off of mine, with the one that you talked about today. I did that, and thinking that they were going to be honest and to pay it, you know, their bill, until I got a letter in the mail myself and got phone calls myself about it. And then when I approached them that they needed to pay it, it started an argument, of course. And then they said, well, I don't have to pay it. It's on you. So I learned my lesson from doing that. And, you know, I know one time before we talked about a co-signing for someone. So I learned lessons with that one. I learned a lesson also, one that we did yesterday, of don't having any credit cards. So when you were talking about it yesterday, I had thought about it, and because I was so in debt with all my credit cards, because I didn't even know that it would affect you if, you know, you put all your credit, all your bills on one credit card, until you just said that. Mm-hmm. I never even knew that. So that was something, so I thank you for that, of me learning that one today, you know, to spread out stuff. So, but those are the ones, you know, that stands out the most for me, that I won't do no more.
Well, hopefully, you know, you always say when you know better, you do better.
You do better.
So, absolutely. Yeah. All right, so what do you think of the Louisiana sister, who, you know, she got her come up on Charles Schwab's era, and instead of getting that $86, she got $1.2 million and started shuffling around, moving bank accounts and all kind of things, or moving money from one bank account to another, and bought her home and her car. What say you?
Yes, when you first was saying it, I said, "Woo!" That probably was a church lady. She was shouting. She said, "Let me run on. The Lord has blessed me."
Oh, goodness gracious!
I thought about it, and I was like, "Oh man, she gonna pay." she don't even realize, you know, what she has done to herself, you know, spiritually. You know, they done locked her up. And even though her not telling where that money is, they're going to watch people that she came in contact with. You know, a lot of times you watch in the on the TV or in these movies, they done dig the hole in the backyard. They put money in there. So they're going to definitely, you know, watch the things that she has done. You know, we'd be surprised of how who's watching you and you don't even know people are watching you, you know, in the conversation who comes and visit her. They're going to end up, even if they don't find the, all of that money, but they're going to, you know, she's in jeopardizing other people because now they're going to be watching, see their banking accounts and where they're moving money because she's not telling. You know, so you never know what, you know, the FBI and all these people come out and, you know, because now they're going to bring in everybody. They're going to bring in everybody.
Absolutely.
And they will take her house and, you know, in her car.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, first of all, people seem to forget that you're dealing with the feds when you talk about bank accounts. So, yeah, they come in. They smashing her with that, how did they say it? She, bank fraud. She's got theft value over $25,000, bank fraud, and illegal transmission of monetary funds. You can't play around with the bank because, man, they coming for you, like you said. So, yeah, Pastor Charlene, you said something that was key, and I'm coming back to that one. So thank you so much for weighing in on our conversation today. Let's talk about it Tuesday. Let's say good morning to Minister AJ. Good morning, Minister AJ.
Good morning. Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In Jesus' name.
Why don't we get this greeting any other day during the week? I think we're getting cheated. Pastor Charlene, Pastor Ed ain't on but one day
Lord.
A week. We getting cheated. Okay. Okay. This is the Sabbath during the week. All right. Okay, we're going to let you have that one today. All right, so we're talking about credit and how we didn't messed up the credit score. What's happened with you? Did you, you know, out of the 11, you know, what have you been, you know, guilty of?
Well, you know, my parents told me to get credit cards, not telling me what it was really about. You definitely using the wrong credit card and at the wrong time. Also paying them, then paying them off and then getting rid of them. So now a lot of my credit cards are brand new. So it doesn't have that credit, you know. So, yeah,
speaking the phone, Minister AJ, speaking the phone.
Yeah, definitely paying them off. So a lot of my credit cards doesn't have that long-term credit history. So,
okay.
When I mess it up picking loans to do business, to do that, to do, you know, I pick out loans for very good reasons. But, you know, now when you get jacked up or you get behind, then now you got to pay it back. Most of my credit cards are kind of like new. So it doesn't have the credit history that it should. So I'm rebuilding.
Okay. Okay. All right. So, we're talking about that Louisiana woman who had a 1.2 mil come up. What you thinking? She's holding on to 25% of this money and she's hidden, quote unquote, and she's not telling where it is. What do you think of this whole story?
Well, she's definitely in trouble. She didn't, you know, she didn't even run to the church house and give God 10 or try to give God 10%. So she's definitely messed up. Yeah, she messed her life up because once they find that money, and they probably going to tack on time, you know, but definitely because of the amount. So, yeah, she messed herself up.
Oh, she's going to jail. You better believe that.
Yeah.
Got it. She's being charged in federal court with theft valued at over $25,000, bank fraud, And, oh, you know what? And I was reading that wrong. I've been reading it wrong. That's three charges. A theft valued at over $25,000. That's one. Bank fraud, which is two. And illegal transmission of monetary funds, which is three. That's three charges, homegirl. And she's only 33. Man.
Well, she'll be out with
you. Tell me about it. Well, and she's only 33, and she lost her good job as a dispatcher of at 911. So all of that for what? Come on, you should have known that they gonna come back for. It's not like they gave you even $100,000. They gave you $1.2 million. What did you think they were gonna do? Wow. Well, Pastor Charlene and you, Minister AJ, said something that was key and I wanted to talk about today. Pastor Charlene, well, let me go backwards because I've been and forgot Minister AJ's. Because, see, yours is typical of what you would say, Pastor Charlene, so I can remember yours a little easier. Minister AJ said she didn't even go to the church house and give her tithes. Now, come on, let's talk about this today, because I want to talk about the dishonest money that goes into the collection plate. Oh, come on, Pastor Ed, she done ripped off Charles Schwab, and now she going to church. She can't put 10%. Because they don't want to know where that money came from. So she going to give the extra in small doses. Come on. What say you about helping people to understand you can't do God like that?
No. We love to talk about it. If your brother has aught with you or you have aught with your brother, you know, go make it right and then bring your offer. So she ain't doing nothing right. And you don't want to use that as an illicit justification for doing wrong. There's no way that she can make that $1.2 million that she stole right. So, you know, yeah, if she gives it, it'll benefit the church, but it's about your relationship and the even the tithing and the stewardship is about a relationship of trust. Well, we can't even trust you to do the right thing. You'd have went out and stole. How many people were affected by that $1.2 million that was stolen? Because Schwab is a brokerage type company where they're managing other people's finances. So how many people did you steal from? Instilling that $1.2 million and then you think you can bring it to the house of God and justify it?
You know, so
she's not penitent because she's still hiding the money.
Right. You
so
hiding
no
it.
Repentance. Yeah.
That's right.
Sweet.
That's right. Ah, oh, good point. All right, so before we go any further, it's still early in the game. Let's take a poll. Shantice, let's take this poll. If they dropped $1.2 million in your account by mistake, now remember, they were only see, here's who would have got fired, the one who made the clerical error. Because let me tell you something. I type very fast on a keyboard, and I ain't talking about using no two fingers. I type very fast, and we were also taught the number row, so I can actually type numbers without looking at the keyboard. Fast. I can also use the keypad, the calculator keypad, without watching. That's, you know, that's 20 years in the accounting department. How you make a mistake when you was only supposed to put an 8 and a 6 point such and such, and now you need to put $1.2 million. You need to be fired. You need to be fired for real. That's a heck of a mistake. And, man, you need to be fired. So, okay, but that's not part of the poll, Pastor Ed. Why you let me get all off track? Okay. So That just came past my mind. You know how I get. You know how I get. All right, so here's the deal. Here's the poll, Shantees. If they dropped $1.2 million in your account, A, would you return it? B, would you keep it? Three, would you give back some of it? All right? That's the poll. Come on. Come on. 347-285-7777. If someone dropped an extra amount of money, don't put 1.2 mil because then, you know, you may not get the, you may get the typical answer, yeah, 1.2 million. I'll definitely get caught. But anything, if you get caught, because Vivian did a story like this for us on the Socially Conscious one time. You know, somebody dropped extra money in the account. So, let's do the 1.2 mil. Let's do the 1.2 mil. If they dropped it in your account, would you keep it? Would you give it back? Or would you spend some of it and give back some of it? Okay? All righty. All right. Pastor Charlotte. Thank you, Pastor Ed. Pastor Charlotte. Minister AJ said, you know, she didn't even go past the church house and give them a part of that $1.2 million. Can we give God dirty money? Should we try to give God dirty money? What happens if we give God dirty money?
No, we should not give God dirty money. First of all, to drop amount of out of the ordinary of what you do if you are in the church and you're paying, you know, and it's such a large amount, you know, it's going, first of all, you're going to feel some kind of way. Well, you should feel some kind of way. And then it's be questionable of, you know, she was always bringing George Washington, and now all of a sudden, now you know she got all this money. You know, it'll make you think, you know, what's going on with your life that changed. You know, and so for her to sit in there to do it, you know, it would question me. It would make me think like, what's going on with her, and to have a conversation, you know, what's going on with you that you inherited. Because they're going to lie anyway, and people are going to put it in pieces. They're not going to put it in all at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, so that's going to be one of the things, because a criminal already has it set up of what they're going to do. And when you were just saying about the part of the person being fired, how do we know that they're not in hoops together? You know, maybe they go to church together. You know, so...
Pastor Charlene, that's wicked.
Well, you know, things happen. You know, people come, and you don't know the mindset of what they're thinking. You know, and you know, money be dropped in the church sometimes, and people don't know where that money comes from.
And they don't ask no questions. Absolutely.
Because, let me tell you, the way that they would keep it quiet, I would come to the church and I would say, God bless you, Pastor. You know, I just got an inheritance and I want to bless you because you have fed into my life, and now I pay you and I give you $5,000. That don't mean that you want to think anything of it. Some, not you personally, I'm just saying, you know, a pastor might just say thank you very much, and, you know, and don't, where before you didn't have that. So, I'm just saying.
Okay. I thought you was going to tell us you had been to a church like that before. <'Cause>, oh, my goodness gracious. Thank you, Pastor Sean.
I don't know.
Oh my goodness! Thank you, Pastor Charlotte. Minister AJ, you know, you were the one who made the statement. You know, she didn't even drive by the church house, and you know, drop a couple of dollars off to the Lord. You know, what is the deal with giving God this dishonest money?
Well, honestly, you can't. I mean, if you look at Isaiah, the first chapter, they were in such a place of sin that God said, so what is the purpose of the multitude of sacrifices. Why are you even sowing? So, but it just shows you, I said it too also, just shows you how crooked we are from the beginning. And that's why I was thinking like Pastor Charlotte. Maybe the person who deposited was in cahoots because she knew how to move it real quick. I'm pretty sure you wasn't watching for $82. I mean, but that 1.1 million, you was watching for that. If I know you going to deposit $82, I'm not watching that. You know what I'm saying? Not like that. It just shows you how you're crooked from the beginning to even think like that. You know, if you were tapped into God and connected to God, you would know that you need to give this money back. You know what I'm saying? You wasn't going to the church house with it, so we already know. You know what I mean? You wasn't thinking about God, and now you're going to be in there crying for God to get you out of this.
Wow. I didn't even think like you and Pastor Charlene where this could have been an inside job. I surely didn't. And now that you say it, you know, it does raise your eyebrow, because one thing I did ask was, what would make you move that money so fast? And you know, I guess now in the longer thought does come back to say, well, were you expecting it? Because like you said, here you got $86 and something cent that you were expecting them to deposit. Yeah. I'm starting to wonder now. Pastor Ed.
I just wanted to say, you know, maybe that person might have that 25%. And also that, you know, as criminals, they can say that, okay, I'm going to put it in your account on such and such a day at such and such a time, you know, and where that they did it. Now, you'll take, you know, we'll discuss, okay, I'll be the one that I'll just go to jail for it if we get caught. I'm not going to bring your name in. But you going to hook me up. You invest some of that money so when I get out, you know, cause somebody got to come and put some money in your commentary. Listen, they got the criminal.
I know somebody that did that.
Oh, that did man. What? Oh, okay. Okay, now you're gonna stack past the Charlotte story. What did you hear? What do you know?
No, I know a wealthy clown like that who the wife was working in the bank. Whatever she did, no, she did some serious fraud, and she took the rap for it. And what he did was he took the money and built a whole business. She did her time, came home. And now they're on their way to being millionaires. No, I'm dead serious. No joke. Dead serious. She worked at a bank. Whatever fraud she did, she did the time. He took the money. He built the business while she was in there. And when she came out, they had a business built. Yeah.
Wow. Okay, Pastor Charlotte. So your scenario is not far. You and Miss AJ been together. Oh, my goodness. I didn't even. I'm not even thinking about
Pastor
this.
Charlotte.
Huh?
We going to church together, Pastor Charlotte.
All right, I'm ready. We're going to take the collection plate.
Oh, my goodness. Pastor Ed, you know, we got these people who, and Pastor Charlene said, we're going to bounce around here for a little bit today. We're not going to be so organized in our conversation. Because a whole bunch of stuff is going through my head. All right, so, Pastor Ed, you've got Pastor Charlotte who said, you know, they got that $1.2 million in their account, and they started giving God thanks. Now, how many, come on, Pastor Ed, you know people get down like that. You'll be looking at them going, really? You really going to give that, you going to put that on God? Come on, you know they ain't got nothing to do with no God. Come on, Pastor Ed. What crazy story have you heard? Because I know you and Pastor Charlene got some stories in your arsenal. You know, where you knew good and well God didn't have nothing to do with this, and you shout now because you didn't spot $1.2 million in your bank account.
No. Listen, first of all, you know you're wrong from the start, and unfortunately, a person that has that type of mindset or that type of character, that obviously they're not rooted and grounded in the Word of God at all. I'd call it opportunists, and I agree. It's a strong possibility that it could be some type of setup, and I hate to go here, but you know, I've heard stories of churches that were used to launder money, because you know, the money going to the church is tax exempt, and you know, some of these organizations, whether you know, whatever they're set up for, they'll run that money through the church, because you know, a lot of people aren't watching the church that closely. At least there was a time where they didn't, until some of these mega ministries started messing up. So it's possible, you know, crime in large cities, crime organizations might find a church that they can target and actually launder their money through it. But the bottom line is, you can praise the Lord all you want, but those praises are hitting the ceiling and dropping back down to the floor, because the intent of your heart and the condition of your heart when you're praising him for something that you know, that doesn't line up with the way that God is going to bless you. So not something that obviously illegal.
Okay. You know, come on. All of a sudden, I got this $1.2 million. God knew I needed a house because the one that I was living in was falling apart. God knew that we needed the car because the car just broke down. You know, he could have sent that 1.2 in there by mistake. You know, have you heard of people just shouting for stuff and you looking at them going, now you really know that ain't got nothing to do with no Lord?
Well, I've heard people make claims about how things happen, and you're hearing it. And you know, first of all, that's wrong. Oh, no, that's illegal, and I know that's not God, but they're praising it anyway because they want to justify the fact that they've got something, so they put it off on the Lord. And, you know, some people get caught up in praise with them, but, again, it goes back to your mindset and your knowledge of how God operates. You know, if God knew she needed a house and this other stuff that she needed, God also has the power to do it to where it's not going to harm a whole bunch of other folks. And like I said, $1.2 million, that could have come from a lot of accounts, you know, where people were injured, and then now they're put in a hardship. And people say, well, the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just. Well, who says all those people that those accounts, that money came from, who says they're wicked? Those could also be people of God that you're now injuring because you stole money that you know, from $86 to $1.2 million, you know there's no way that's a multiply miracle. Come on.
Ah, God.
Even the devil is better than that.
Come on, Pastor Charlene. You know, you said it. You know, just shouting, you know, giving God thanks. I can see it now behind that desk at the 911. People can't get to the emergency center because she's shouting, you know, about what God done did. And you know good and well they ain't got nothing to do with no God. Where have you seen people have shouted for something and given God thanks and even prayed? Oh, my gosh, I've heard this even in prayer. And you know good and well that ain't no God.
They hit that lotto. Now, this is a true story.
Well, why would you bring us anything else?
There was a lady. There was a lady that was in the church. And one of the things that you got to be careful of telling people your business. But it came to the church. She was throwing money around, you know, just blessing people because they had done these things. And like I said, bless the pastor. And sure enough, you know, she's shouting. And so I'm thinking that, you know, this is like when I think that I must have had just came to this church. And so she's shouting and she's talking about the goodness of Jesus. You know how they come to the front and they get that mic? And she's talking about how the Lord had blessed her, you know, and she got this money. And she hit big. And So I'm oh wow, you know what? How did she get this money? Because I'm asking, you know, she got all of this money, and do anybody know how she got it? You know, did she inherit it? What happened? She hit the lotto. I was done. I was like, for real? And she shouting and going on. And just like that, people just with her. They was with her, shouting with her, you know, and people high-fiving because they got a little bit of money. She done hit off everybody, you know. And I thought that was like, I'm just coming to the terms. You know, I don't know that you ain't supposed to be, you know, I'm new. I'm the new one on the block. And I was just done after we started. And then I remember later on when they was talking about it later, you know, for some people, you know, it's always two sides of it. And people were saying, how can she sell? And she, you know, over a lot of money. And that's when I found out. I was like, wow, she going to be happy right now, but she don't know right about now what's going to happen to her, because you might be blessed this second, as you say, but you ain't really blessed, boo. You just put an X on your back, and now you're going to go down. And sure enough, what happened? She lost everything that she had. She got sick, and she passed away.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Got to be careful. Yeah.
Wow.
And I was like, I didn't know people shout because they hit the lotto. You know, like, that was, like, so safe to me. Yep.
Wow.
So it does happen. It wasn't like, you know, a million like you're talking. But, you know, she got some good money, though.
Wow. Well, Pastor Charlene, I just want you to know that, you know, when you were talking before about the criminalistic behavior, the listeners said, Pastor Charlene sure knows a lot about those criminals. Oh, goodness gracious. Oh, so, Pastor Charlene, you sound a little too savvy. A little too savvy. Oh, my goodness gracious. You with the rich clown. You and Pastor Minister AJ with the rich clown, with the wealthy clown. Oh, my goodness. Oh, come on, Minister AJ. We're talking about the fact, you know, people are shouting, you know, giving God thanks, tearing up the flow, knocking the pew over for what God has done. And they know good and well God ain't had nothing to do with that.
Wow. Unfortunately, I don't have any of those stories. I guess my people don't come to church when they get their money. They just stay on the out of church. I don't have any stories like that. I mean, I've heard of some extreme stories in church, but not where they're shouting and dancing, bro. They just took their money and gone, you know.
Well, yeah, I mean, but even speak to the fact of, you know, when we're shouting for things that we know God has nothing to do with, maybe not in this particular, you know, case, but just in general, you know, when we know God ain't have nothing to do with that, you know, like Pastor Ed said, it's a cover-up, you know, you want to kind of do this to make you feel better, you know, well, what does God feel about that?
I think it's pure craziness, you know. But some people do it, too, because they want to be seen. You know, that's like somebody, okay, let's use this example. Taxes, you know, claiming kids. Now you in there dancing because you done got some extra money. It's craziness to me. And it takes me back to that song that says, what if God is unhappy with my praise? You know, God cannot be pleased with you and be happy with you, and you shouting over something that you know is incorrect. Like, I don't even understand how you get the, you know, enough courage, you know, enough audacity to do something crazy like that. Me, I'm just not gonna be in church. I'm not doing that. That's craziness to me. Yeah.
Mm. Okay. You know, we the Bible speaks of ill-gotten gain, and you know, Pastor Charlene brought up, you know, you're blessing the pastor with your ill-gotten gain. You know, what happens, Pastor Ed, if one of your members come and say, you know, Pastor Ed, I want to bless you. You know, you've been so good to me and my family. you know, and when you say, oh, well, you know, thank you very much, you go home and open it up, and, you know, it's like $2,000. What's the first thing that comes to your head?
Well, I'm going to be honest, for me, and you know, unless you're in a very wealthy congregation, you know, if someone comes and gives me that large bill of money, I'm definitely going to go back to them, because, and let me explain why. One, granted, you know, some people say, well, if they gave it to you, they intended, but my concern is going to be, you know, what prompted this? And like Pastor Charlotte said, if I know what your, you know, what your income or what your lifestyle is, even your giving record, and then all of a sudden this large lump sum comes, you're going to ask, one, I want to make sure they're not putting themselves in financial jeopardy. You just want to understand what's taking place. Now, if you come to them and they lie to you and you can't verify it, well, you don't have control over it. But if they confide in you, you know, I did this wrong, and so I'm giving this to you because I'm hoping God will bless the money. Well, you need to straighten that out real quick, and you need to explain to them that that's not how it works. You know, because, again, we're not a money laundering process for you to do something illegal and then think you're going to run it through the house of God and that's going to make it okay. So, you know, as a leader, you have to use discernment. You have to use wisdom and use correction, you know, correction and confession. All of those things, they go together, and you want to direct that person in the right path, because ultimately, not only are they not going to be blessed, but you as a leader condoning or being complicit in that behavior, God's going to deal with you as well.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Ah, Pastor Charlene, you know, you're the one who mentioned, you know, you're getting this blessing from one of your church members. You know, let's say it's not $5,000, it's just $2,000. And, you know, they could have come by money and thought enough for you to give you $2,000. You know, when, you know, you don't think nothing of it. You don't pop the envelope open until you get home and, you know, you done took off your clothes and ate your dinner and got comfortable. And, you know, you're all excited about the gift, the blessing, and you open it up. And it's more than what you think would have come from that individual.
Right, and that's where I would, like I said earlier, I would ask you, you know, where there was a young lady that was in a accident, and she had been talking about it a long time, and, you know, she was like, oh, Pastor, when my ship come in, because you know that it's always a ship, when the ship come in, that... you know, I'm going to bless you, you know. And so I will always ask her, you know, but I knew that she was going to, well, like, let me say, we go by what people say. I didn't know, because I didn't go with her to therapy. I didn't, you know, I didn't do any of that. I didn't know her when she had the accident. You know, she came to us after the accident. You know, and so my thing was, I questioned her because I knew that she was struggling before her, as she said, her ship came in, you know, so I knew that she was struggling. And so I set her down, and I brought it back, you know, and I wanted to give it back to her, because my thing was that I don't want you to be in the same place where you were before. You know, don't try to help everybody else. You know what I mean? And then you fall back. You know, make sure that you're good. Make sure that you've got, you know, some, you know, money in your account and stuff like that. You know, but I did question it. You know, I did question it. And she just kept, you know, no. Because you're going to mess up, you know, your blessing, my blessing. And I'm saying to myself, I want to make sure where you got this money from, you know, that it's, you know, true what you said, you know, but come to find out, that's what the people had said, you know, they could have been in cahoots with her, but it's hard to really know, you know, just like Pastor Ed said that, you know, you're going by what somebody else said. So, you know, if I don't know, I don't know, you know, but I did go to the Lord about it to ask him, you know, God, you know, I don't want anything that is not a blessing. You know, you want something to be a blessing. You don't. I don't want nothing to fall on me, you know, because I would just in greed, you know, because that's what it is. If you just take it, you know, and it's not a true, you know, blessing to you, now you became greed, just taking people money, and I don't do that because I'm going to end up giving back. And sure enough, that's what I normally do. Some kind of way I'm going to bless you back. So that was fine.
Okay. Minister AJ, you know, we're talking about, you know, you receive that envelope and, you know, when you open it up, it's like, oh, okay. You know, it's more than what you thought you were going to get. And what do?
Oh, I'm definitely asking questions because, unfortunately, people like that, it's definitely going to come back up. And God forbid they get in a hole, now it's going to be remember when? And you want me to remember and now pay you back on crooked funds. So I'm definitely asking questions, you know what I mean? Because if it's not right, you know, I'm definitely giving it back, you know, because I've never been one to beat somebody over the head, especially in church, about finances. So I'm definitely asking questions because, you know, when your pockets got holes in them because you didn't do the right thing, I don't want to be giving good, honest money back into pockets with holes. So I'm asking for it.
Okay. Well, here's another thought where my mind went. Now, because I want us to talk about the intent that's on our heart. Pastor Ed, I want to start with you. You know, okay, so somebody you know, they've come into some money, and it's your child or it's your sister or, you know, it's your mother. Not your child. Your sister, your sibling. Do they owe you anything? You know, we've had people who have won the lottery, and they've gotten their money tied up because somebody stepped up out the. Yes, I read this whole article on different reasons why people could not get their money after they won the lottery, and it was because somebody stepped up and said, you know, well, when during the time when they didn't have, I gave them a, you know, a place to sleep, and they owe me, you know, they have to give me money back. And you know, what is to be said for those of us who are calling ourselves Christians and people, the debt we feel people owe us? You know, you get that money, even if it's an inheritance, something, or a lawsuit. You know, do you owe anybody anything? Does anybody owe you?
No, especially when you're talking with family. If, you know, siblings or whatever the case may be, or even a stranger for that matter, if you're sincere about helping or serving, God has directed you, God is leading you, just based upon, you know, your character as a Christian believer, there shouldn't be any any debt in place coming from sincere assistance or help. And so, you know, and I hate to say it, and people may not agree. So when somebody comes into something like that, if they're not led to share with you, or for whatever the case may be, you know, I'm not going to sweat over it because, you know, I believe in making an honest living. God provides for me, and so I don't have to rely upon someone else. And if I helped you or gave you something, if it wasn't a loan, if we didn't come into an agreement that this is money I'm loaning to you and we're agreeing you're going to pay it back, then when I helped you, that's what it was. It was help. It was a gift. It was whatever, assistance. And so there shouldn't be any strings attached to it. It's, you know, it's nice if people remember you, but if they don't, you know, when you're talking about the intent of the heart, it shouldn't be about I'm doing this for you because I want you to do back for me, or I feel you can, you know, will be able to reciprocate. You know, that's not how your mind and your heart should operate.
So why do we end up here so often? Why do we end up where we feel, you know, so entitled? You know, somebody came into something and now because we're close to them in relation or because I've been knowing you for so long, or, you know, when you and your family have a place to go, I'll let y'all stay here. Well, how do we end up feeling so entitled to you know, in this process of them distributing money?
But because that's how we've been groomed. We've been groomed with the mindset of a transactional society. Everything is a transaction. If I give you this, I expect to receive that in return, as opposed to, you know, like with the community of faith. Remember, and I'm not trying to preach, but I just remember in Acts how they talked about how the believers had all things in common and they distributed and provided for those who had need or what have you. You know, kind of going there, but I'm pulling it back to how we've come to the extreme opposite of that. You know, a lot of people believe I ain't doing nothing. It's me, my, and I ain't doing nothing for nobody else. If I do something for you, I expect something in return. Very transactional, rather than having a giving or a generous heart, knowing, you know, that it, when you're giving unto others, when it's in a pure mindset and a pure heart, it's like giving unto the Lord or lending unto the Lord. So it's just the way our society has been groomed. Our society is a very money-driven society and a very transactional society. And so as a believer, if you're not able to separate yourself from that and have the mind of Christ or that character, then you feel entitled, and that's what you expect. And I want to get all I can get and then some.
All righty. Well, I know by the time we come around, you would have had to check out. So I want to thank you from now, in case we don't make it around to you in enough time. You know, thank you so much for joining us today, Pastor Ed.
It's a pleasure to be back. Thank you for your prayers.
All right. Thank you. Pastor Charlene. Well, thank you. You too, Pastor Ed. Thank you. Pastor Charlene, you know, do we we feel entitled, you know, somebody comes, you know, into some money and, you know, as I'm talking Christian minds, you know, I'm not talking about regular street people, we feel like somebody should give us, you know, well, my sister hit or my sister, you know, got a lawsuit, you know, I'm expecting to get, you know, some money, and if she doesn't, I'm mad. What goes on with that? How do we end up there?
We end up there. First, I want to say, when you get your money, you make sure that you remember me.
So, let's just say that for the record, right?
Yeah. For the record, that's right. We do that because of the fact that, first of all, when somebody does something for you, like you said, make it personal. So, for myself, when I do something for somebody, I have learned that to do it from the heart. I had to learn how to, you know, like what Tommy had talked about, when you give and so somebody say they want to borrow and they don't give it back, don't look for it to come back at you, you know, because a lot of times people will say one thing and then when they get their money, then, you know, they forget about you. They don't want to talk to you. They don't want to do any of that to you, you know. So, and once again, it's like tit for tat, you know. I let you and your kids come to my house. Y'all ate up my food. You know, we go back into that instead of looking at that it doesn't matter, because God is going to supply your needs even if you need it. Let someone be able to bless you. Don't get angry over what somebody else having. That's looking across the street at somebody else's house, you know, and having that envy, having that jealousy, you know, because now they done drove up, you know, in a brand new car. They done did, you know, now you see the furniture people coming, you know, bringing in furniture, you know, taking out the old, you know, and you still having what you have. We have to get to the place with that. Be excited for your brother and your sister. Be excited for them. You know, if they don't give it to you, it's okay. Look, your blessing could be right on the other side of the door. You know, you be surprised what God will do if you stay humble. And that's one of the things that we don't do as Christians. I've seen people get so jealous and so angry because of the siblings, you know, are not sharing, or because of, you know, somebody else having more than you, just a little bit more than you, not even a lot more than you, you know, being where they're able to fix up their apartment, not even a house, just fix up the apartment where that, you know, you didn't have that. So we have to get out of that place of that's jealousy to me. That's, you know, of being, you become angry for what? Why are you acting that way? And you call yourself a man or woman of God, you know, and you should not have that in your heart. You got to go back and to see what am I missing, you know, that I need to take to the Lord where I'm able to lay it at his feet so I don't feel that way. You know, people get jealous over a dress because you came in with a brand new outfit. So it's like little things people do, not even major of big money or anything, you know, so we cannot be like that. We have to get to the place where that we are very humble, you know, and be able to know that God is going to, when your turn comes, just know that your blessing is going to be him. Because he said he will supply all your needs and he will be able to, you know, give you some of your desires. This is depending on what your desire is. So I always say some of your desires. And you got to be careful when you say our desires. Sometimes our desires is not in line with the Lord.
Okay. Did you answer how do we get here? And I missed it somehow because I had something distracting go on.
How do we get here?
How do we get here as Christian people feeling entitled? Did you answer that? I'm sorry.
I thought I did, but how do we get because of our disconnected. No, maybe I did not. Our disconnected with the Lord because now we become jealous. See, we're not in tune with the Lord. We're not in tune with, you know, being humble, you know, being grateful for someone else.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much. Yeah. Minister AJ, you know, we're talking about the fact that, you know, we are upset because, you know, we feel entitled to our brothers or sisters. You know, you had a slip and fall and now you got, you know, your money from the lawsuit. And we're mad because, you know, you didn't give me any. You know, what is that to feel as a Christian person?
I mean, it's definitely not a good feeling. And you can give from the heart. But sometimes, for me, I might be mad for a whole different reason. Because I know you're about to mess it up. So I need a deposit so when you come back, I can have something waiting for you after you mess this money up.
You know what?
After you done dealt with enough crooked people and messed up people and the same people over and over again, you know they're going to mess it up and then come back. So for me, just give me the deposit now so when you finish messing it up, I'll have something waiting for you. And I don't have to use my money once again. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, so for those who don't think that far, you know, let's help to redirect their thinking. You know, your sister or your brother, you know, or your cousin who you grew up with, you know, they came into, you know, some level of money, and you expect that they should share it with you. What do you say to that individual who's a Christian person?
I mean, you're supposed to lend, not looking for anything in return. So if you don't have it to lend, then don't lend it, you know. It's nothing wrong with saying no because, however, sometimes we think we're helping people by giving them over and over and we're not helping them. Sometimes you got to let them face reality. And I've learned you're just one no. I had to learn that. Like, you're just one no. Guess what? Because when you see them 2 weeks later, guess what? They're still standing. They're still surviving. They done got it from somewhere else. But sometimes they can take your kindness for a weakness and keep trying to beat you over the head. And then you could become a crutch by always giving. So sometimes you got to learn that and learn how to say no, you know? That way they can get up, go to work themselves, or figure it out themselves. I had to learn that too. But if you're going to lend it to them, just lend it and don't look for it in return. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, okay, so then please let's go into part B. how do we get there? How do we get to feel so entitled to someone else's, you know, gain, someone else's blessing, that we feel like so-and-so should, you know, they owe us that, you know, that hookup. They owe us that, you know, blessing, in other words. You know, they should come through and give me some money, you know? How do we get there?
And I mean, you know, getting into ourselves, you know, getting too much into ourselves, you know, I've given you, now you should, you know, and not doing it the way the word tells us to do. A lot of times, like Pastor Sean said, that disconnects. When you become disconnected, you're going to think all types of ways. Yes, they owe me. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, for me, that's what it is. It's the disconnection. Sometimes you just got to do it the way God tells you to do it. Not sometimes, but that's the way you're supposed to do it. And sometimes we fail. Let me say it that way. Sometimes we fail to do it the way the word is instructing us. And so we become hurt. And when we become hurt, you become vulnerable. And when you become vulnerable, you're going to have that sense of entitlement because you want something that's going to make you feel better about your hurt. And that's what it is. Now you're going to go seek it. Now you're going to feel like they owe you because you want something, to, you know, in place of that hurt.
Okay. Well, Pastor Charlene and Minister AJ, I want to say thank you so very much for joining us today, you know, for Church Folks segment. Okay? And we pray you have a blessed day. Okay?
You do the same. God bless you.
Thank you.
And if you hit the lottery.
Bye. Well, you're going to be real disappointed, Ms. AJ, because I do not play. All right. Let's go. Let's say good morning to Sean Chiefs, and let's hear what those polls are reading. Good morning, Sean Chiefs.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. I'm well. What you got for us today? What does the poll tell us?
Okay, so I put the poll out there, and I got some explanations before I got the answer first. But 100% of the people said they would give the money back, which I didn't think that would be the outcome. But
okay. Well, what were some of the explanations?
Well, one of the explanations was if you're talking about as a Christian, yes. If you're talking about being in the flesh, no. Then someone said that happened to me before. I mean, the explanations were good. Someone said that happened to me before, so yeah, I would give the money back. Then someone else said that they, hold on, let me see if I can read it real quick. Someone else said, my initial thought was to keep it and wait until they ask for it or contact me. I guess confirming that they made the mistake. So I guess they would hold on to it and wait to see if they would get the that was a mistake. You got to send it back. Oh, I need it back. And then someone else just chimed in and said, yes, that happened to me before. I contacted the bank and told them to take it back. I guess they wanted no part of the shenanigans. And someone else said, yes, give it back ASAP. So everyone is just ending up with the, yeah, I'm giving it back.
Okay. What's your thought on the I'll wait and see until they, you know, contact me first? You know, what do you think of that
one? I ain't playing those reindeer games. You getting all of this back. I just had to send someone their money back. Because it was some type of like communication discrepancy, and I was like, okay, you know what we're gonna do? We're gonna send you your money back because that just clears up everything. You know, I'm gonna let you figure out where you went wrong with your end, but while you're figuring that out, you got your funds on that end already. There's no need for you to contact me. There's no need for you to try to ask me to help you figure this out. I want no part. So I'm not waiting. I'm gonna just send it. If I'm able to just automatically send it right back to you, then I will do that. Or like one of the listeners just said, if I have to now contact you to tell you to take it back because I can't, you know, automatically just Zelle it back or Cash App it back or something like that. But I don't want any parts of it. Mm-mm.
Okay. So let me ask you this before you disconnect from us. You know, Pastor Charlene and Minister AJ and then Pastor Ed, you know, after giving it some thought, said, hey, this could be an inside job. What do you think? Do you think that could have been an inside job?
Yes, because of how everything was played out. You know, and you, once they pointed that out, you then said, yes, it is weird how as soon as that money came in, you immediately moved it. So either you that thirsty, but with everything going on now in the world, you know, I could see myself opening the my bank account and being like, wait a minute, where does money come from? Now, I know I only had 37 cents in this account. Now I got how much in this account? I can't see myself just automatically quickly transferring that. That sounds like a plan. You know, it really sounds like a plan. So I wouldn't put it past them. There's a whole lot of scheming going on now. So I don't find it weird.
Okay. Thank you so very much for your poll. Okay.
Oh, wait. I'm so sorry, Pastor Steph. Someone else just chimed in and said, it's way too much of a headache to go through. The repercussions are too great to keep the resources. In the end, you lose.
Okay. It makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
It makes sense. All righty. Thank you so much for chiming in and giving us our poll information. Have a wonderful day.
You're welcome. You too.
Okay. Thank you. All righty. Something just came to my mind when Shantice was just talking, and I think she helped me put that nail in that coffin, and I'll tell you why in a minute. But in the interim of me thinking, and before I do that, let's hold hands and hold hearts and go before the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you, oh God. You have brought us safely through last week, through the weekend, and we are already into Tuesday only by your mercy and by your grace and by your goodness. Thank you so very much, God, for just loving us through the thick and through the thin. You're just an awesome God who just continuously looks through, you know, all of our faults, and you just find our need. And we thank you, dear Heavenly Father. We thank you, God, for the words that have come through this ministry this morning, God. A word that we pray will be accepted, that people will hear what's being said, because ultimately everyone has said, if your life is truly hidden in the Lord, there is no way we would do the things that were done, what was spoken about today. If your life is truly hidden in the Lord, we always want to make sure that everything is put into its proper perspective. And we don't try to find the easy way out. We don't lie our way out. We don't scheme. We don't run any scams. But everything is on the up and up. So we thank you, God, for the lesson for today. That even if something we're doing is not, you know, something that was spoken about is not what we've done, but it would make us think on these things. It would make us examine ourselves and say, you know what? Let me just do all the checks and balances. Let me cross every T and dot every I just to ensure that I am not outside of the will of God, that I'm not rationalizing this, that I'm not giving God the glory for something that he had nothing to do with, that I'm not giving the enemy a foothold into my life. Because I'm so desperate and because I'm so blinded by greed, we're just grateful to Heavenly Father that you've taken the time to invest in us today. that this is the direction you took this conversation in today, that the news story can now help us reexamine our life. It would make us look in the mirror and either get on our knees and say, God, am I doing this thing here right? We want to come to you today, God, asking you to just wash us. Make us whiter than snow. And we're thanking you, God, for knocking on our door. We're thanking you for waking us up to knock on our door. Thank you so much for all that you do. We thank you for just being the God who you are. You're just so savvy in what you do. You're so strategic that you would, you know, just take something that we enjoy and make it just a lesson in you. Making sure that we have a closer walk with you. Making sure that our words are pure, our actions and our deeds are pure. And we ask you to bless every minister here today. We ask you to bless every listener here today. And we ask you to just be with us as we go through this day and keep us safe, protected, so we can join again tomorrow. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. The wheels are turning, everybody. Because guess what I just thought about as Shantice was talking? I want you to keep something in mind. Now, think hard, because we're all adults here. We didn't have to do some transactions and some banking transactions. Was a little heavier than the other. Since when are you allowed to make a deposit and not show where the money came from? What? How could you take money out of your bank account, put it into another bank account? It's over $1,000 and you not have to explain. Because you don't remember now, for Charles Schwab or anybody to directly deposit something into your account is one thing. But it's something else for you to take 75% of that money and now put it into an account. You don't have a track record of where that money came from. You can't go tell them that Charles Schwab sent me this money, because think about it. Come on, let's we're talking about it today. We're going to have this quick conversation before I close. Think about it. Anytime the IRS sends you money, when you got your stimulus money, they followed that up with a letter. They followed up that says, as of this day, you got your $1,200 or your $600 or your $1,400, whatever they sent you. When you have an income tax, it goes through as income tax. They also send you, there's always a paper trail for your money. Even if you get a loan and they put it right into your account, they are sending you something in the mail. So for argument's sake, if you were to take it out of, let me use a Chase, you know, they directly deposit it into Chase. They send you the loan documents. They can send it by email. They can send it by, you know, regular UPS, USPS mail. You have a paper trail. You could actually take that to Capital One, that $10,000 that they lent you, and now you can say, okay, I got this money from, what do you call these people? From, you know, new trust bank or whatever. Here's the document, and I took it out of Chase, and more than likely, you're not walking around with a $10,000 cash in your hand. You're walking around with a bank check. So now you have this $10,000 bank check that shows, along with that paper document that you have. They're not allowing you to take anything over $1,000. They do not allow you because of all the fraud, the terrorism, and all of this stuff. So guess what, y'all? My guest says, too, that was a hard internal business going on there. Because how would you get that money to now take and put into an account? I remember when I was buying my house, that's how, and that was 26 years ago. From back then, I learned you cannot put more than $1,000 in the bank and not be able to say where it came from. If they see anything in your bank that came in, it better be by direct deposit, and it better be from an employer or, again, like a loan, and that's always going to come with a paper trail. So guess what, y'all? If we thought that maybe, that could have been on the up and up, nope. You know, my little 54 years, I've learned a couple things. But it took me a minute for it to click, because I did not initially think about it being an internal job. Like I said, I always wondered how in the world did they get to, you know, how she moved that money so fast? Because I can't even imagine, you know, moving money like that. My brain wouldn't even move that fast. And trust me, I'm a planner. And you just say, I want to do such and such a thing, man, in 5 minutes I'd have your whole event or whatever plan. But I couldn't think to move the money that fast. Well, that ties that story up. Well, I want to talk about us as Christian people and our intent. And God, in the Bible it says, ill-gotten gain. And if anything that you're doing, receiving, acquiring, that is not right in the eyes of the Lord, ill-gotten gain. Just think about that one word, that one phrase, ill-gotten gain. Something that's questionable. You know, and a lot of Christian people, I've seen it happen all the time, you know, they don't dig. You know, I did ask the question of the panel, you know, what happens if someone gives you an envelope and it has a certain amount of money in it? Do you ask questions? Well, listen, if you're worried about the person being offended, then that ain't the person who feels that close to you to give you that kind of money, no way. If somebody says, hey, I want to bless you, and they hand you an envelope, and when you open up the envelope, you're like, where do you get this money from? I'm asking. Even if it's in a jokingly way, I'm asking. Because that's what's wrong with us now. We're so desperate. We're so hungry. We're so greedy that we would just gloss over things because we don't want attention called, and we've got to go backwards. And not have, or backwards, and, you know, and have to start from the beginning. You know, we're not trusting God. We're not trusting God. And this is why we end up in trouble. Do you think that God is going to overlook the fact that you helped somebody do something, you know, illegitimate? Nah. And I'm going to throw this one out there. I remember talking to, you know, someone, and we had gotten pretty friendly. I had never met her face-to-face. You know, she lived like thousands and thousands of miles on the other side of the globe. And one day she said to me, she said, you know, she was a Christian woman, supposedly a Christian woman, and she said to me, she said, you know, there's this guy who wants to send me something. And I'm not comfortable with him sending it to me. I don't know him that well. So I don't want him sending it to me. So we continued to have the conversation. And then she said to me, well, can I have it sent to you? So I said, wait a minute. You don't feel comfortable with him sending it. It was supposed to be a business transaction. So I don't know why she wasn't sure of what this package was. And I said, well, what would be in the package? You can't think of what would be in the package? Well, no, you can't send it here. Because, see, I done seen too many movies and TV shows where there's this sting, and as soon as the mail gets to the door and the person drops, you know, the delivery man drops off the, you know, the package, and you open up the door and you sign for it, now all the feds are jumping out and they seizing everything, and you know they got you no, thank you. And if this means we have to stop talking, then guess what, I still got a whole house full of people I could talk to, so I ain't never gonna run out of a conversation. You have to ask questions. And you have to make sure that when you are praying, you are going before the Lord pure. You know, you listen, the Bible tells us that you can't do anything that would hinder your prayer. So if your health is in question, or if you need, you know, help paying the bills, or if you need this to be done or that to be done, and you're relying on the Lord, then you can't have some unscrupulous background stuff going on, because that can very well cancel your blessing. And last I checked, I don't know anybody who could afford to have their blessings hindered because of other activities that are going on in their life, or anything for any reason. You know, when my money gets a little tight, and I'm looking at this bill, and I'm like, all right, God, this your bill. This bill ain't got nothing to do with Stephanie. This is yours. I don't need to be saying, well, wait a minute now. Did I actually... am I in the clear? You know, did something happen last week that I need to be thinking? No, I don't need to have to go to God for forgiveness first, you know, in order to get that new prayer answered. Nah, that new petition, nah. I need to know that when the Bible tells me, be anxious for nothing, but by prayer and supplication, make your requests known to God. I need to know that I can just go to God and make my petition known, make my request known. And Pastor Charlotte said something about praying, and that's knowing that your prayer can be reconciled with God's will for your life. You're not going to be asking. And see, that's why you can't say all the time, you know, well, God will supply all your needs. I'm sorry, not all your needs. What's the other one? The desires of your heart. I'm sorry. Well, I can say that because I don't ever go to God asking him for a Lamborghini. I don't do that. I'm not asking God for the mansion. I'm not asking God for the yacht. No, I go to God with things that I know God would want for me, and that's the key. So you want to make sure that your life is being lived so that God is pleased with what you do. And then on the back end, when you need to go to him for something, it's already taken care of. And you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to worry about it because your life is clear. Well, I want to make sure that, you know, I help you understand today that you want to make sure that your life is clear. So we can't help people do things, you know, on the job, you know, that God would not be pleasing, you know, and say, well, you know, can you come help me do such a thing? And ask questions. Make sure you get all the facts before you promise somebody that, you know, you're going to do something with them or for them. Because sometimes people can ask you to do stuff and you're like, oh, okay, well, I'll do it for you this one time. And you know, we got to be real careful before, you know, sometimes you get caught out there real uncomfortably. So we're going to ask questions. Before you tell a person yes, make sure you ask. Okay? Don't get caught up out there. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through your day, be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. They will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. Is Pastor Steph signing off. And I want to thank my Due Time crew, Pastor Charlene, Pastor Ed, and Minister AJ for helping me hold church folk. Let's talk about it Tuesday down. Thank you for joining us and listening. I hope you learned something today, because boy, did we step on a whole lot of toes. Choose Jesus as your personal Savior right now, because later is not promised to us. Until tomorrow, God spares, I love you.